the Financial Sense Lifetime Income Program. Now, here's the Financial Sense News Team, Jim Poplava and John Loeffler.
Well, financial planning has become ubiquitous here in the United States. There are more advisors doing plans for their clients, whether it's helping them to set up goals for financing a college education, a wedding, or their own retirement. But there are a lot of problems with these financial plans, and a lot of it is based on assumptions. We're going to talk today about the common errors made by advisors. Joining me on the program is Paul Horn from PFS Group. And Paul, recently on FS Insider, Chris Sheridan interviewed Ed Easterling, and they spoke about how low expected returns for the next 5 to 10 years are most probable. How many advisors use historical averages that have pitfalls? For example, we've all heard the common returns that people use when they're talking about stocks over the long run. Stocks produce 10% returns, bonds produce 5 or 6%, and 3% on T-bills. These were the assumptions that were used in a lot of plans. But as we know, Paul, if we take a look at the stock market from 2000 to 2013, it basically went nowhere. And as far as 5% returns on bonds, today the yield on a treasury is closer to 2.25%. So what are your thoughts on this in terms of the assumptions that are used in a lot of the software that is used today to make a retirement plan or a financial plan for an individual?
Yeah, absolutely, Jim. With looking at the returns that advisors use, this is by far the biggest mistake I see other financial planners making out there today. Typically, what they'll use is the default for whatever financial planning software they're using, whether that's eMoney or another program. What those programs will use is the 30-year Ibbotson data. So just to give you an example, what that would suggest on large cap stocks over the last 30 years, it's averaged 9.65% per year. So that's the return they're using on large cap domestic stocks forward looking. For bonds, they're looking at a rate of return of 5.39 for bonds. And inflation, they're running about 3.8. So I don't know about you, Jim, but if you can find me a bond paying 5.39%, sign me up right now.
I'm sure everybody would love to have one of those. But let me ask you this. The software companies that come up with these programs that load their data with these kind of assumptions for planning, is anybody at these software companies actually looking at the market? For example, I just mentioned, you know, the stock market hit a peak, the S&P in March of 2000, and it did not exceed that peak until April of the year 2013. And as a result of the great financial crisis, we saw interest rates last summer get down to 1.6%, 1.3% on 10-year treasuries. Does anybody not look at that? Or are they just saying this is what the average has been for 30 years and that's what we go with?
They're just providing the averages as really kind of a baseline. It's really up to each individual financial planner to modify that if they'd like to. Unfortunately, most advisors don't have the expertise or the willingness to make those adjustments. You know, here, for example, we very much believe with Ed Easterling, I really liked, if you listen to that interview he did, he really did a great job talking about looking at where we are in the business cycle and how important that is to predicting future returns. The analogy he uses is weather in Chicago, saying if someone's traveling to Chicago and they ask you, what's the weather? Well, if you look at the average, you're going to say 65 degrees, and that's how you're going to dress. However, if you go in summer, you know that you're going to be ill-prepared. And if you go for in winter, you're even going to be more unprepared. So it's really important to look at where we are in the business cycle, compare that appropriately when we're predicting these returns going forward. So here at the firm, what we're doing is we've notched down the rates of return, for example. Each portfolio is different, but depending on each individual portfolio, the rates of return are anywhere from 2 to maybe 6% for the next 6 to 10 years. Now, if you look at someone's long-term average, 30, 40 years, yeah, they'll most likely be a reversion of the mean. They'll get closer to those Ibbotson marks. However, in retirement, it's based on an individual's lifespan, which is only 15, 20 years, 25 years, 30 years if they're lucky, so they're not going to get close to those historical averages typically.
So if we are expecting, let's say, lower returns, and that could be a function of the high PE ratios that we see in the market today, probably the second most expensive market in history, and these low bond yields, Paul, how does that impact clients? Let's say I'm 55 years old. I plan to retire in 10 years at age 65. Given these low expected rate of returns, obviously that has to have some impact on my retirement in terms of the amount of capital I'm going to have and the kind of returns I'll have to live on once I retire.
Correct, Jim. A lot of people start doing their planning about 5, maybe 10 years before retirement. Some wait until they're a year or two from retirement when they come to us for a financial plan. The challenge is, if you're not giving yourself sufficient time to prepare for retirement, you may be unpleasantly surprised from time to time. We have seen that where someone thinks they have enough to retire, but then based on the lower projections that we're using, and no one wants to be the bearer of bad news, but it at times can make people need to work part-time, maybe delay retirement. You know, at that point, it's really just a discussion of what we can do to help them, whether that's tax inversion, like we've talked about before, lowering their expenses, whatever the case may be.
Are there other options, Paul? For example, let's say that, let's just throw out a hypothetical figure. I'd like to have $1 million when I retire, and I'd like to get a certain percent on that. Now, what if I don't have $1 million when I retire? Are there other options that you work with, for example, suggesting part-time work or individuals perhaps work a little bit longer instead of retiring at age 65, they retire at age 68 or 69 or something like that, because we know people are living longer today, which also puts a further stress on a retirement budget.
Yeah, there's many different avenues that we'll pursue with a client that's maybe in a less than ideal situation where maybe they're being forced into a retirement for health or work reasons, or maybe they just at that point in their life where they just feel that they need to retire. There are several different avenues that we'll look at. And when we're doing that, we're going to have a conversation with each client to see what is going to be the least painful opportunity for them. For example, we have a recent client who's being forced into retirement for health reasons. Doctors told him to retire. He unfortunately can no longer do his job on a daily basis without injuring his health. So for him, what we had to look at was, what are your options? He was in a low-cost state, so trying to lower the expenses really wasn't much of an option because he was doing a great job controlling his expenses and he was in a good state to retire in. So there's no tax inversion or anything like that. But what he did have was a large home that was paid off, and he had a wife who was still working, and he had the capability of still producing income, just not in his normal role. So for him, through some planning and analysis, what we found was going to be the ideal scenario in his situation was to go ahead and downsize the home from a 5-bedroom to a 3-bedroom. Going to help lower expenses and property taxes while we're doing that. That's going to create some capital to produce additional income as well. And then instead of fully retiring, his wife worked part-time, he worked part-time from home in a job that was more suitable for his health condition, and they were able to live very happily.
So outside using these assumptions that are based on a 30-year average of the market, which included the great tech bubble, as well as the real estate bubble of the last decade, what other common pitfalls do advisors make in planning, whether it's assumptions or things that they do or don't do?
Absolutely. And most of the errors are going to be made in the assumptions that the advisors use. Because really, the financial planning software, like any model, is only as good as the assumptions it's using. In fact, Markowitz, when he talked about his modern portfolio theory in his seminal paper, he even mentions that his model, while it works, is only as good as the assumptions that are being used. But some of the other pitfalls that we're seeing advisors make, the biggest one that I would say is lifespan. You know, there's a recent study that suggested if you have a couple that both reach retirement age, age 66, there's a 2/3 chance one of them is going to reach age 90. Most advisors are still planning for people using lifespans of 82, 85, lifespans that are definitely shorter than what most people are projected to live. The other thing that advisors are doing is they're allowing for higher withdrawal rates. Part of that is because of the Ibison data that they're using is projecting higher rates of return, so they're using higher withdrawal rates. Other things they're not doing is they're not controlling for how the money should come out in retirement. So that's really a tax question. You know, is it better to withdraw money from the IRA or is it better to take it from the taxable or Roth account? There isn't really a lot of planning in that as well.
Now, what are some of the differences to consider that you do in a financial plan compared to the rest of the industry? There are a lot of canned software programs out there. There's robo-advisors. A lot of these financial plans, if you look at them, and I've seen these over my career as well, that they look the same. They kind of put out the same kind of document. They follow the same kind of format and they pretty much look, you know, it's kind of like a standard product you'd get on the shelf at a grocery store.
Yeah, the financial planning here is definitely different where most firms is going to be pretty cookie cutter. They're going to use their financial planning software. They're going to use the whatever pretty little package it spits out, not really making any adjustments, just using the defaults on the system. E-money software is a financial planning source that we use. However, that's combined with tax planning software. That's combined with a questionnaire that we use specializing for risk tolerance for the client. And there's also some additional software that we use. It was software developed by doctors and actuaries to help give us a meaningful projection on lifespans for each individual client, taking into account their individual health and their health history.
Yeah, you mentioned something that was rather interesting there, and that is risk analysis software. Because so many times in my financial planning career, Paul, I have discovered that a client will come in, they're getting close to retirement, so they want to be conservative, or they've gone through the great financial recession that we had in 2007 to 2009, where they lost a lot of money and plus the tech bubble. So they come in and they're a little bit more conservative. But yet when you look at their 401k plan, which is the bulk of their retirement assets, it's allocated on a far riskier basis. So explain the importance of the risk software, what it does, and why it's important for somebody that is heading into retirement.
Absolutely. That's a great question you asked, Jim. And with the risk planning software, that really helps us shape the financial plan for the clients. It helps us to set expectations and help people truly understand the risk to their individual financial situation. For example, not all bond funds are created the same. When we've inputted different bond funds in the risk planning software, we've had those that have come out on a score of 1. And again, this is a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being highest, 1 being lowest. And a equivalent bond fund, according to Morningstar, we've seen other ones come out at scores of 3, 4, or even 5. And clients aren't aware that they think they're taking a conservative investment and they're finding out that it's actually a moderately aggressive sort of investment. And that's due to either leverage or the sectors of the bonds they're in, where they may be in a lot of junk or high yield bonds. Now, when we're using this software in the scope of financial planning, especially looking at retirement, it really becomes important to help the client understand the difference between their ability to take risk and their willingness to take risk. Really, at the end of the day, I view risk like I do cake on a counter. Just because it's there doesn't mean you need to eat it. Risk is the same way. Just because it's there doesn't mean we need to take it. So oftentimes I've seen, like you've talked about, Jim, that 401k that's hyper aggressive, never really rebalanced, just it was in stocks. Stocks have done well. They've never made any changes. So where they think they may be 60-40 stocks to bonds, they're in reality 90% stocks in these portfolios. And just showing them that they don't need to take that risk, that they can actually take their foot off the pedal, and that's going to actually help increase their chances of success in retirement. Success simply being not running out of money because they're reducing the volatility. So that's going to help them sleep at night, and that's going to be better for their overall financial picture.
Now, I know that other advisors are taking these historical averages that we've been talking about to make future estimates. Are there better ways to more accurately reflect current market conditions? I mean, if we take a look at this market over the last 7 or 8 years, and certainly the Great Recession, not too many people saw that coming. And even if you take the Fed's own forecast, Paul, where they say they're going to do so many rate increases or they're not going to do rate increases, even the Fed's forecasts have been proven wrong. So how do you make realistic market conditions and assumptions when it's been so difficult, as they call it, the new normal? Because a lot of what is going on in the market today is not normal.
It's not, you know, and a lot of people think market returns are completely random, when in reality, if you really look at market returns are not random. The returns are really based on principles. Really, what we look at here is using both a macro approach, of course, looking at the big picture. We look at technicals, we look at fundamentals, looking at things like PE ratios, and we look at what history has suggested. Just to give you an example, Ned Davis Research has done some excellent research on this, looking at PE ratios historically. What he did is he took all the stock market returns and what the PE ratio average was for that year, he divided them into quintiles, into buckets of 20%, 20 to 40, 40, 60, and so on, with the highest PEs being in the fifth quadrant. And what he has shown with that is that the average rate of return, if you're in that fifth quadrant, which is exactly where we're at now with today's multiples, the estimated average rate of return for the next 10 years, not even adjusting for inflation, is 4.3%. Then we look at other research by research affiliates suggesting the U.S. large cap real return is going to be about 1%. And then there's other technical research that we follow that's been suggesting that it's going to be closer to zero for the next 10 years. So what we do here is we'll use our own projections and it'll be combined with all these other different sources that we talked about. And then that will give us a baseline for our projections going forward. And those, of course, are reviewed and updated on a very regular basis.
Have you ever seen these assumptions impact a client's retirement? In other words, let's say I'm 55, I have X amount of dollars in my 401k and savings program, and I'm planning to retire at, let's say, full retirement age at 66, and I'm using assumptions of, let's say, 10% returns for the market, 6% for bonds, and then, Paul, let's say that 10-year period just happened to start with, let's say, the year 2000, when the stock market was going up double digits a year. Certainly using a 10% assumption might have sounded very conservative back then. But have you ever seen these assumptions that were put into a plan impact a client? In other words, they get to retirement, and because of the assumptions made, they don't have the money they thought they were going to have.
Yeah, actually, two examples really come to mind. One of them being is we had a client that was preparing for retirement. They were still about 2-3 years out. And based on the industry norm, they were given a 99% chance of success, simply saying they really didn't need to do anything to change. They were ready to retire whenever they wanted to in 2 years. When we looked at our plan using our assumptions here, we came out to only a 77% chance of success. And that made the client nervous because he talked with other advisors and he had mentioned that he was told he was fine. There's nothing he had to do. Well, based on his overall lifestyle, there were some small changes we needed to make. Just cut back expenses a little bit, reallocate some investment options, and just save a little bit more aggressively for 2 years. And we got him to about a 91% chance of success. And ideally, in these type of scenarios, we like to see at least 90%. But if that client had not talked with us, he wouldn't have made those adjustments, and that could have put him potentially in a bad spot. The other client that comes to mind is a client that tried to retire in 2009. They had done all the financial planning correctly. They had worked with us. And when I say correctly, they'd use adjusted assumptions. However, when they came time to retirement, sequence of returns came into play. So it was beyond their control. They had done everything right. Unfortunately, they had to delay retirement 2 years because of market conditions. They couldn't control the fact that the markets had bottomed right when he wanted to retire.
I want to talk about something like that because we've been talking about rates of return being lower going forward, at least for the next decade, given PE multiples today and where interest rates are. I want to talk about something else that often impacts somebody when they retire, and that is called sequence of risk. I mean, imagine if it's January 2007 and you retire having no idea that a major bear market and recession is ahead of you. It'd be kind of like going on a cruise ship, the day's sunny, you head out to port, everything looks nice, and you have no idea that out there, somewhere along the path you're heading towards, is a hurricane. So let's talk about that and the dangers of sequence risk. First of all, explain what it is.
Sequence risk is quite possibly the biggest risk a retiree can face, and it's something that's beyond their control. Sequence returns risk, all that is saying is that you have really bad luck when you retire. That when you retire is at the beginning of major losses in the market. So the common example would think of someone retiring end of 2006 with the losses that we saw in 2007, 2008. By retiring at the end of 2006, going into 2007, 2008, with those 40% losses that a lot of people saw in their portfolios, what that did is that limited the amount of income that they were going to be able to produce. And that also locked in those losses going forward, because people are living on that money. So they're taking the money out of their portfolio and they're locking in those losses, not giving the money the chance to recover. What that does over someone's long term is substantially reduces their ability to retire or have future income.
And finally, I guess, what are you doing to educate and help manage sequence or return risk for clients? In other words, you know, take a look at where the markets are today. First of all, the markets went up after Trump's election when everybody thought they were going to go down. We are now at record levels. So, you know, somebody that's looking at stocks today are saying, boy, the stock market is going up. It's been going up for almost 9 years in a row. What do you do to educate a client about the risk of looking at the market just based on current assumptions?
What we use is a lot of education for our clients. We try and help them understand that while the markets have done very well and this has been excellent for their portfolio, number one, we set the expectation that this isn't normal and that the markets can't continue at this rate. We know that we've seen this time and time again. At some point, there will be a correction and adjustment. The market will need time to cool off, and that will happen. Just when will it happen? We don't know. We don't have a crystal ball. But that sets up the next part of the discussion, where we talk to them and educate them about sequence of returns risk and how if they have really bad luck in the beginning of retirement, this could potentially impact their ability to retire. So that may mean that instead of fully retiring, they start a job, they reduce their hours to part-time, they maybe delay retirement. So we let clients know now that if their timing is just bad luck, it could impact their ability to retire. And we set that expectation now.
Finally, you know, given your experience in financial planning, what would you say would be the number one mistake individuals or advisors make when doing a plan?
I would say the biggest mistake that they use is that they trust everything that has been done without taking a closer look at the underlying assumptions. I've just seen too many times where an advisor doesn't pay close attention to the assumptions that they're using in the plan, and it makes these crazy projections where really anybody can retire at any time without any problems. And the problem is most clients are unaware of this. So most clients think, you know, they go to their professional for advice. They think they're getting good advice. And it's not, advisors aren't trying to deceive. They're not trying to provide bad advice. They're just not educated enough to be aware of the potential mistakes, and they're not adjusting for those.
Well, listen, Paul, as we close, if our listeners would like to find out more information about your planning consulting and the benefits that you offer, how could they do so, please?
I can be reached by email at paul@paplava.com, or the phone number here is 888-486-3939. Again, 888-486-3939.
Paul, thanks for joining us on the program. All the best to you, sir.
Thank you very much.
Well, that concludes today's interview. In the meantime, well, we've run out of time. We'd like to thank you for joining us here on Lifetime Income. Until we talk again, we hope you have a pleasant week.
You can subscribe to Financial Sense NewsHour in the iTunes and BlackBerry podcast libraries or at feeds.feedburner.com/FSM. Find more information about our guests at www.financialsense.com/newshour. Friend us at www.facebook.com/financialsenseonline. For our on-the-go listeners, you can access Financial Sense on your mobile device at m.financialsense.com. The Financial Sense News Hour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the News Hour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of James Poplava and do not take into account listeners' suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense NewsHour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies profiled on or advertising with Financial Sense, or arising out of the use of any material on the NewsHour. Be advised that you invest at your own risk.